Good morning. I have to tell you that you, as a congregation, you do this good morning thing really well. I stood and watched it as you came up and greeted me during that time of greeting, but you were in relationship while you were doing that. It was wonderful. And I have really enjoyed, I come from a family of musicians, I have enjoyed the music this morning, and gentlemen, I really enjoyed your playing this morning. Thank you for that. It is a joy to be here on behalf of Crossroads Board of Directors and on behalf of our staff, but especially on behalf of the children and families we serve. Thank you for this opportunity. And I have to start out by making an apology. I was supposed to be here a year ago, and on a Sunday, obviously, and on Monday morning, I got a call from Darren, and he said, "We missed you yesterday." And I put you and him in a very bad spot, and he's been extremely gracious about that because I know it had to be a rough morning. I did find that speaking engagement. I believe it was on my calendar in 2024. So I didn't actually find it. One of my staff people found it. She was putting some other things on calendars and said, "You know, you have a speaking engagement in 2024? I said, "Really? Where is it?" So anyway, I make an apology to all of you for that, and thanks for inviting me back. Thank you, Darren. So Crossroad has been celebrating 135 years of history this year, 135 years. And we came about because what was then the German Reformed Church in the United States heeded that call to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The German Reformed Church reacted to young boys who were forced to be coal breakers in coal mines and young girls who were selling matches on the streets. And they wanted to help make sure that children who were not experiencing much of a childhood, who were dying in back alleys and under porches because they had no family, got the hope and the help that they needed. But the church people found that the country's orphanages had become precariously overcrowded more and more since the Civil War. And so the Western Synod of the German Reformed Church of the United States, of which your church was a part, right? You're going to start hearing some parts of your church history. Many of you are going to remember some of this. So you were probably first Reformed Church, right? Okay. And we were founded in 1883 as the German Reformed Church, as the German Reformed Orphans Home of Fort Wayne, Indiana, by the German Reformed Church, of which your church was a part already. Your church was a major part of our founding. As a matter of fact, our first superintendent came from First Church in Galleon. The Reverend John Rettig and his wife had been serving here at your church and came to start the orphanage in Fort Wayne. So we have been walking through history together for a very, very long time, and we have all changed names together as well. In the 1930s, the Evangelical Church united with the Reformed Church, and we became the Evangelical and Reformed Orphans Home of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I assume you became the first Evangelical and Reformed Church here in Galleon. And in the 1950s, the Evangelical and Reformed Church united with the Congregational and Christian Churches to become the United Church of Christ. And our name changed all of those times along with you. Our services have also changed over the years. The need for orphanages went away in our country post-Civil War as the foster care system came into being. And our board of directors looked around and said, "How can we continue to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God, and still carry out our mission of working with children?" And they did a couple of things. They opened a home for unwed mothers. It was called Woodhaven. Many of you might have remembered that part of our services. And we also started working with children who were troubled, children who were abused and neglected. We became the Fort Wayne Children's Home of the United Church of Christ in 1957. And it was the beginning of a time period where we worked with very troubled kids, but it was not the point where we are today. So much has changed even since then. One of my former board members likes to say, we're not who we were, but we're who we've always been. Our mission has always been to help those who had the most need. So children living on our campus today are as young as age 6. They have very complicated and challenging diagnoses. Many are not just emotionally troubled. As a matter of fact, about 50% of them are also intellectually, developmentally, or physically disabled. They may be mentally retarded, developmentally disabled. They may be autistic. They may be medically fragile. They may be impacted by brain trauma. They are all children with very challenging mental health and emotional health issues. They are often children who have been hurt the worst by those who should have loved and protected them the most. We offer a residential program where children live on our campus, where they get treatment. They go to our school, Crossroad Academy. Crossroad Academy is one of very few schools in the Midwest that is just for children with mental health issues. They join the children who live on our campus for school each day. In 2017, we were approached by the juvenile court judges in Indiana and people from the Department of Probation, the Department of Child Services, to open the very first emergency mental health shelter program specifically for those children with mental health issues in the Midwest. We opened that program for girls on October 1st, 2017, and for boys on January 1st, 2018, and it is a groundbreaking, first-of-its-kind program, making sure that children who go into shelter care, who are emotionally or mentally health troubled, have the help that they need, have therapy in that time where they are in between being removed from a home and being placed where they're going to go next. Our residential services have long been the core of our work. Our mission has led us to accept children other treatment providers will not work with. We measure outcomes. We measure outcomes through the largest outcomes project for children in services in the nation. Our children at Crossroad have more risk factors than children at other residential providers, yet our outcomes are close to or better than the aggregate benchmark of nearly 100 other organizations. That may not be exciting to you. It's really exciting to me because we're not just claiming that we help kids. We are really proudly proving it. These kids, they're just kids. They are kids that have had a really rough start in life. They have really been hurt the most by those who should have loved them the most. Shireen is 9 years old. She's a self-harmer. She was trafficked by her mother and her father for drug money. Devano is 14. His mother has serious mental health issues. His father is in prison. They do not have parental rights. Devano has brain trauma from an abuse incident in his home when he was quite young. James is 8. James is autistic and has serious mental health difficulties. He does not verbally communicate, but he does act out. Liz is just 6. Her family is intact and healthy, but she displays behaviors that scare her older siblings and her parents. Unfortunately, these 4 children were all on our waiting list for more than 6 months before they came to us. Our residential beds are full. We have lists so long of children waiting for services that if we emptied all of our beds tomorrow, we could fill them again the next day with children from those waiting lists. And so our board of directors and our staff have made a commitment to, again, do justice and love kindness and do what we must do to help those children. And we're doing that by building additional space for intense treatment, 15 additional beds for children in residential services. We are committed also to making sure that all of our spaces are physically accessible by removing inaccessible buildings, some more than 100 years old, and replacing them with ground floor buildings, treatment centers, operations buildings, and a new dining and kitchen and meeting space. That's all really important for our future. But I'm not going to talk about that too much right now. I am going to leave some information for you about our building project and how you can be involved, how you could even have your name on a room in our new buildings. But Crossroad is committed to working with the most challenging kids, and we are committed to being in relationship with them and letting God love them through us. As I think of Advent's call to be prepared, to be watchful, and that verse from Micah imploring us to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God, I'm reminded of something I have learned about children at Crossroad. The therapy, it's really important to them. The education we provide, it's extremely important. Number one key factor in the success of a child. And making sure they have the right physical, dietary, and spiritual care, it's vital. Relationship is where that all happens. It was in relationship that most of these children were hurt. And it will be in relationship that they come to find what love is supposed to be, what love really is, that they will come to find out what forgiveness is, that they will come to know what God's love is all about, and they will have that ability to move forward. Relationship. One of our young clients, in talking to her therapist a year ago, started calling it the big R. The big R. And it made me think about the work that we do in relationship to that call to be ready at all times. Relationship is what it's all about, isn't it? If you look through your Bible, if you read the scriptures, it's about relationship. It's about our relationship with God. It's about our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about our relationship with each other. And indeed, it's about our relationship with ourselves. It's about relationship. And it is in relationship that these children will come to find that they are loved. They have been told so many times, in so many ways, that they can't do anything right, that they're worthless, that they're trouble, and they've come to believe it. And so, with all of the services we provide, without relationships, without someone tearing a piece of paper in front of an infant, creating a relationship, without someone saying, thank you for what you did a good job, I'm proud of you, without those little pieces of relationship, children don't grow up to be the type of children, the powerful children of God that they were meant to be. In my first year at Crossroad, one of our girls was sitting in my office, and she pointed to a photo of my husband and I and our two sons standing on a rock in the middle of a river in Yellowstone National Park. And she asked me who that was, and I told her, well, that's my husband and my children. She said, what are you doing? And I said, well, we were on a vacation, and we were experiencing the beauty of this place. And she said, I've never been on a vacation. I didn't have that kind of family. And in an effort to try to think of something positive for this young girl, I said to her, who is it in your life who has shown you goodness and kindness? And she waited for a very long time thinking. And I was afraid she was not going to come up with someone. And it was breaking my heart that I had asked the question. And she finally said, my second grade teacher. I thought, oh, good. She's got a good story. Tell me about your second grade teacher. She said, every morning when I came into the classroom, she put her arm on my shoulder and said, I'm glad you're here today. And I waited for the rest of the story. But that was the story. The person she could think of who had been good to her in her life had put her arm around her and said, I'm glad you're here today. Relationship. Relationship. As we prepare, as we prepare our hearts and we search and wait for the coming of our Lord, what are we asked to do? We're asked to be in relationship. We're asked to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our Lord in expectation. And you can do that in simple ways. The person who was important to Ciela, the person who was important to her, wasn't somebody that spent 20 hours a week with her, wasn't somebody who spent, you know, well, as a teacher she did, but not in face-to-face relationship. It doesn't require hours and hours and hours of time to have a relationship with a neighbor, or to say hello to the person who is checking you out at the grocery store and tell them they have to have a good day. It doesn't take forever to acknowledge the people around you, to look them in the eyes, and to know that they are people of God too. They can be. If we are those hands and we are that voice, if we are exemplifying kindness, if we are doing justice, if we are preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share with you today about what you do with your gifts at Crossroad. I recognize some of the faces that are here today because some of you have come to visit us. Some of you have been on tours at Crossroad. Many of you, I know, have given and have prayed for us. 135 years this church has been in relationship with these children. Thousands upon thousands of children have been impacted by that. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for being in relationship. Amen.